It is the verses 2 and 3 that I want to leave with you tonight in Revelation chapter 3. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Direction in spiritual decay. That's what we have here. The Lord giving direction in spiritual decay, spiritual deadness, and in spiritual barrenness. Now, while we said last time that Sardis is dead, it is evident it is not buried. The Lord does not view them as unregenerate dead, but the Lord reviews them as a church that has much deadness in it and much deadness about it, and there is a lot of spiritual decay. But there are still some signs of spiritual life, though even those signs are decaying. It says there, verse 2, it says, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So even in Sardis, there are some good things that are remaining. There are some positive things even here, although they are also in danger of decaying. And that can happen. Our spiritual life can decay. There are times whenever we justly and correctly say, I feel dead. I feel barren. I just feel a bit spiritually lifeless at present. And there are the barren times that the church goes through. There are barren times that God's people go through. There are times of deadness, times of spiritual decay, perhaps even times of bad backsliding. And so there are seasons when the love goes and the joy goes, the peace of the Lord maybe is decaying and going as well, and patience and all the other graces of the Spirit are at a low ebb. And prayer's hard. It's hard to get people out to the prayer meetings. It's hard to get people out even to the meetings. Even our own selves who attend the meetings. Sometimes we just feel lifeless and dead in the meeting. Prayer's hard, maybe. God's word seems closed to us. So we can go through just the motions. And the warmth and the life absent. And it's a time of spiritual decay. And Sardis is something like that. And what is happening now here in verses 2 and 3 in our text, the Lord is kindly giving them some directions to lead them into a better state and condition. So he's giving direction here to dead, decaying saints. Now, seeing the all-wise and the all-kind Saviour gives this direction in verses 2 and 3, it is, we can be sure, sound direction. And therefore, it is good direction for us all if we find ourselves going through a barren time. If we find ourselves slipping or departing or just getting cold in heart, or we've lost the graces of the Spirit, or they're very decayed and there's absence of joy, things like that. So in times whenever we're losing out with God, the Lord Jesus here is giving direction to help us and to put us on the right path. Now, by direction, I'm not suggesting it's a take it or leave it advice. Maybe direction isn't a strong enough word. It's not take it or leave it advice. It's actually commands. So the words of the direction that I'm going to point out to you tonight are in the imperative. And there are five imperatives, five commands, five pointers giving us direction. So it is divine, wise, and loving direction that is commanded. Now, as I said, there are five points, five commands, and that's the path that we are to take if we want to be a healthy church and if we want to be healthy Christians. And I point the five parts out, and then we'll come to them. That'll be our division in the sermon tonight. Verse 2, be watchful. That's the first imperative. Be watchful. And then strengthen. That's the second imperative, the second direction. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready today. And then verse 3, remember. Recollect. That's the third direction. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. And then the fourth imperative is hold fast. Hold fast. And then the last one is repent. Repent. So these are the Lord's guidelines for us, for to be healthy Christians. So first of all then, our Lord Jesus Christ says to us to be watchful. Verse 2, be watchful. Now the Lord Jesus often said that, if you read the Gospels, he said it very often actually, about the need to be watchful. I think the sense here is, it's a wee bit of a difference in the words here, but I think the sense here is, become watchful. Become watchful. It nearly seems to me to imply, or that the Lord is implying, that's something you haven't been doing, Sardis. You haven't been watchful. That's why you're in the state that you're in. And he's saying to them, become watchful. You need to become watchful. You have failed in this area, but you need to catch a grip and begin to become watchful. In other words, it seems that they have been strangers to watchfulness, and that's been part of their very problem. They have not stayed alert to the dangers. They have not been awake to the things that cause the decay and the deadness. And the Lord is saying to them, you need to start. You need to begin to be watchful. We might even paraphrase it. Wake up. Wake up. It's the first word the Lord says in the imperative. He says, wake up. You need to wake up. That's why you have decayed. That's why you're dead. You haven't watched, you're been asleep. So come on, wake up and be watchful. And he means about watch where you go, watch who you spend your time with, watch what you let into your life, watch what you let into the church, watch at the gates of all your soul, all the gates of your soul. At your ear gate, you have to watch what you're listening to. Watch at your eyes, what you're looking at, what you're reading. Watch your mouth, what you say. Especially the Bible talks about how we have to keep our mouth, because by what we say, we can deaden our souls. So we have to watch the gates, because it's by the gates of ear, eye, and mouth that the soul receives damage and deadness, and the Lord is saying, you need to watch those gates. You need to wake up. And so in those areas, the Lord is suggesting to be watchful. Pastors are called watchful for the flock. They're called watchmen, and they're to watch over the flock, and to try to awaken them, and to hedge them, and to warn them, and to protect them with the word. The pastor can't do it on his own. Every Christian has to watch for himself, as well as watch for one another in a certain extent, but especially we have to watch for ourselves. And later on in the book of the Revelation, the Lord Jesus said in chapter 16 and the verse 15, he said there, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. So that's a strange verse, because if you don't watch, you're in danger of losing your garments and becoming naked. And that's the danger of not being watchful. And there has been the suggestion that the priests, watchmen in the temple, at night time there were watchmen at all the gates of the temple, and it was the priests that did that job. But you'll note, I've said in the past, whenever I did the series on the temple, that if the watchmen, the priests in the temple, fell asleep, they could be punished by setting fire to their garments. They would go around with the torches to check on the priests that they're keeping watch. And if a priest was found asleep, his garments could be ignited. Of course, that would wake you up, and you'd soon pull your garments off, and then you'd be naked. And this is what the Lord says he's referring to, that if you don't watch, if you fall asleep, if you're not vigilant, that could happen to you. The devil will burn your garments, and you'll have to go about naked, and you'll be exposed, and you'll lose out in the covering. And so there is the necessity to watch, and the unwatchful Christian will become dead. And part of the restoration and the reviving, it only comes about through a restoration of vigilance at all of those gates of our soul. So that's the first direction then, to be watchful. And then the second direction that the Lord gives is to strengthen. He says, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Now, it is obvious here that these are good things. The Lord hasn't asked them to strengthen bad things that remain. There are some good things that remain. Yes, it's true that they're decaying as well, that those very things are ready to die too, but they must prevent that from happening any further. And they have to strengthen those things. The idea is to prop them up, to hedge them about, to stop them collapsing or decaying or just being removed altogether, somehow stabilizing things. Like if it's a decaying wall, to strengthen it and build it up again, to prevent it just completely collapsing altogether. So this is this idea in this word, strengthen. It means to fix. Fix the wall. Fix those important things in your life which are essential for your spiritual health. And so the Lord here is telling them to get things fixed and strengthen things that are essential in the church. The Lord Jesus used this word strengthen too on a number of occasions when he walked the earth. You remember how he said to Peter, he said, Peter, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. See, they're all going to run away. They're all going to be decaying saints. And Peter's going to be part of it. But Peter, I've prayed for you. You're going to be converted again. And whenever you are, you're just going to have to strengthen your brethren. You're just going to have to come out of this hole. You'll be all the stronger for it. And when you do, make sure you strengthen and build up your brethren in the faith. So the Lord has used it before, and now he's telling the church at Sardis, you strengthen those things that are remaining. Now, what are the things that are remaining? Now, I don't think we can tell for sure, because it doesn't say in the text, but I think Sardis must have had an idea, and I think it must certainly include the parts of worship. Worship. See, perhaps there was much deadness in the worship, as I said last time, but it's still going on. They're still going through the form of praying. They still have the Bible reading, no doubt, in the church, the reading of the scriptures, and they have the preaching. I'm sure they have the Lord's table too, and the praise and the baptism and all of that. They're usually the last things to go in a church. They're just a form. They just become the form, the deadness. They just become the form. But they're usually continue on in a church, no matter how dead or even apostate it is. They do continue on, these forms. And it's probably to that the Lord is referring to. The praying. You need to strengthen the church in that area. You need to strengthen your life in that area, in your area of prayer, in your area of hearing God's word and reading the Bible. You need to strengthen these things. So establish them and keep them up. You know, there's no hope of being revived if they go. If prayer goes, if the word goes, if preaching goes, there's no hope of being revived whatsoever, none whatsoever. And I think it's to those things that the Lord is referring. Those things that are still going on in the church, a semblance of worship. He says you need to strengthen them. You need to get the reality into them. You need to get them built up and continue in them. Now, before 1859 in the Presbyterian Church, there was a lot of deadness in many of the congregations. There were a number of reasons for that. One of them was the Arianism that had infected many of the congregations, and while they got rid of the Arian ministers, there still was the deadness that Arianism had left on many of the churches. And prayer meetings were often poorly attended, and some ministers couldn't even get a prayer meeting going in their churches, and there was a deadness just in the pews and in the pulpits. But the worship was still remaining. And the rubbish was kept out. There was no rubbish in the churches, no rubbish in the pulpits, but there was reverence. But basically, there was a deadness too. And while the worship was Puritan worship, the ministers in the main were faithful, and they did endeavor to strengthen the things that remain, it was very difficult for them because there was a deadness. But nevertheless, they kept at it, trying to strengthen, trying to get prayer meetings going. And sometimes the ordinary people in the church, they even when the minister didn't start the prayer meeting, even ordinary people in the church started to pray together. And so they tried to strengthen these things, the prayer and giving time to the word. And ministers worked hard, the evangelical ministers worked hard in their preaching. And they just strengthened these areas and kept it up. And the Lord blessed, we know the history, we know the story, 1859, and there was a great time of revival and refreshing, and the deadness was just washed away. And there was a revived and a fresh church now in Ulster. And that's what the Lord is, something along those lines the Lord is referring to here. If we're dead and if we're decaying, we have to strengthen our prayer life. And if we're a decaying church, we just have to pray more. And we have to keep at it and not give up and make an effort to be in the prayer meetings and make an effort to pray. And we have to strengthen our Bible reading, not let it slip. And we have to strengthen our attention to the Word of God and to the preaching. And so we must strengthen and stabilize in these areas. I read the Scriptures and search the Scriptures and study the Word and pray over it more. And strengthen in your resolve to the preaching of God's Word, that you attend it, that you focus and concentrate upon it when you're under it, and that you pray for it, and especially that you heed it and obey it, the preaching of the Word. And so we can apply that in the areas of worship to strengthen those areas. And that's very good advice and direction that the Lord is giving us. Perhaps we could apply it to their good works as well, their deeds of kindness and mercy, their efforts to promote the gospel. There is a hint of that at the end of verse 2, because the Lord says, I have not found thy works perfect before God. These are their works of worship toward God, but also maybe their works towards their neighbors. Kindness and charitable works, they're lacking in that area. their opposition to the idolatry and the ungodliness in Sardis. They're probably lacking in that area. They're probably lacking in attendance. I was reading one of the church fathers recently, and I was struck how he was rebuking his flock for just coming out on special occasions. So it was a problem then. You know the way it is in the apostate churches. Everybody comes out when in Scotland, there, the Church of Scotland, they would have a Lord's Supper maybe twice a year, and the churches would be poorly attended. But whenever they had their Lord's Supper, everybody would come out. And very few of them were saved, of course. But they would come out on those special occasions. And I was struck that the church fathers obviously had this problem as well when they were rebuking coming out in crowds whenever it was a special meeting. And maybe Sardis has a problem like that as well. Their works are not perfect. The people aren't making an effort in the meetings. There's just a deadness and a coldness. And the Lord is saying you need to strengthen the things in these areas and improve. And so the carelessness is rebuked. But then thirdly, the third direction the Savior gives is in the area of recall. And he commands remembrance. Verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Now the Lord here calls us to recollect things. I mean, that's why the Lord has given us memory. Our memory is very important to us. We can't really grow if we don't use our memory. We learn from the past. We bring the lessons of the past with us. That helps us improve for the present and for the future. So we must always be recalling, always be recollecting, always be remembering. And this is a very good advice. And especially if you're backslidden and you're just not the way that you were, you have to remember the better days. You have to remember and recall them. And that's what the Lord is doing. Remember how thou hast received and heard. Recall the past. Recollection can prevent decay. Recollection can refresh and revive the soul. It's a good device. It's a helpful admonition to us all. That is, if we recall the right things, and if they are recalled and remembered in the right manner. So this is just a simple act of calling to remembrance. Now again, this is another word the Lord Jesus often used. For example, he said, we saw in chapter 2, verse 5, you remember how he said to the church, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember. Do you remember when he was disciples, he says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. In the upper room, he used that word too. He says, remember the word that I said to you. Remember. So the Lord Jesus is always calling us to remembrance. In fact, it's in one of the commandments, don't we know, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But what is it in this particular context that the Lord wants us to recollect? In order to our reviving, you'll see there that it was to remember the Lord's goodness to them. Because he says, remember how thou hast received and heard. And so he's talking about something that they've heard in the past, something that they've received in the past that has been from the Lord and has done them such good. And the Lord is telling them, you remember that. You remember how you received and heard in the past. And so he's referring to what he gave them in the past. And what did they receive in the past? Well, clearly it's the same thing as they heard in the past. And it must be the gospel. They heard and they received the gospel. The good news. They heard the good news of salvation in a Savior. And that's what saved them. That's what made them spiritually alive. And to be revived and refreshed, that's what you have to do again. You have to remember what the Lord has done for you. And you have to remember how the gospel came to you, and how you were saved by grace, and how you were so privileged. And by doing that, the goodness of the Lord, recollecting His goodness to us, it should revive us and refresh us, and it should rebuke us and take us out of the dead, barren state. But notice how the Lord expresses it. He does not say, remember what thou hast received and heard. That's not what He says. You see, they already know what they heard and received. They know the gospel. They know the word of God. But what they are to remember is how they received it. Remember how you received it. Whenever you heard it at the start, whenever it came to you in power, how did you receive it? Well, how did we receive it? We received it with joy. We received it with excitement and enthusiasm. And whenever we were saved, we'd run to the meetings. We just had an appetite for the Word. We delighted in the Word. There was an enthusiasm. There was an excitement. And the Lord is saying, do you not remember the honeymoon time with the Lord? Do you not remember the prayer and the Word, how it was so sweet? And there's nothing would stop you praying. And how you often were on your knees before the Lord, and it was the time just passed, and you were just crying unto the Lord, and you were so full of life. You had new life. And the Lord's trying to recall that again to them. That's what you've lost. That's what you've missed out on. That's gone now. Remember how you received it. How you received the Word joyfully. How you received the gospel with gladness. How you went to the meetings and you were just learning and drinking it in. It didn't matter what poor preacher was preaching. You just loved the Word. You just drunk it in. Oh, the Lord says, remember that. The love of your espousals. What the Lord calls in the Bible, the kindness of your youth. Whenever you went after me, the kindness of your youth, the youthfulness in the things of God, and you just ran after me. Just remember that. The tokens you got with the Word and how the Lord really spoke to you. Recall all of that and realize what you're missing out on and realize the deadness that you have now. That's why we sung Cowper's hymn tonight. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where's that? Where's the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memories still. But they have left an aching void this world can never fill. Remember how you heard the Word, how you received the Word, how you were excited about the meetings. Remember that. And then we'll realize something's wrong. And it'll be part of the process of our reviving and refreshing. And then fourthly, the next command is hold fast. And hold fast. Now the verb means to keep something, to keep it cheerfully, to keep it securely. We can even use the word guard. Guard it so you don't lose it. Keep it securely. And what is it we are to keep securely and hold fast? Well, usually this verb is used in relation to God's Word. And I think that's how we should take it. It is, I think, connected with the verb that goes before, heard. What you've received and heard. And hold fast. Yes, recollect how you received it. But also, keep holding it fast, what you did receive, the Word. And you're never going to be refreshed and revived and get out of decay until you have a right hold of the Word of God. You can't be revived without the Word. There's no revival without the word. That's why if the word goes out of the church, all hope of revival goes. It's just apostasy. And that's what the devil aims at. Getting the word by all means minimized and out of the church. But the word is our life. The word is our refreshing. The word is our reviving. And the Lord says, hold it fast. Don't let the word go. Don't let the preaching of the word go. Don't let the gospel go. Don't let the scriptures go. And so that's what he's referring to. They're to hold fast the word. And that means to not only read it and hear it and love it, but observe it and obey it. Especially obey it. Remember how the Lord said, I have manifested thy name. He's praying to his Father. He says, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me. And they have kept thy word. They've held it fast. They've held fast the word. And this is what this Sardis church is in danger of letting slip. The last thing that remains is the scriptures, the Bible being read every week. That's the last thing that's remaining in this church. And the Lord says, hold that fast. Don't let anything get that out of the pulpit. Don't lose that. Hold it fast. Bind it around your neck. And walk in the paths of the word. And the Lord Jesus uses this verb so often, keep. Blessed is he that readeth. You remember how it starts at the start of the book. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep them. It's the same verb. Hold them fast. And several times he says it in these epistles to the churches. In verse 8 he says there about having kept my word. And also the book closes, the book of the Revelation closes saying, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that holdeth fast the sayings of this prophecy. So the Lord very clearly here is talking about his word. Brethren and sisters, you have to read the word. You have to hear the word. You have to pray over the word. You have to love the word. You have to hold it fast. You'll never be revived and refreshed if you let go God's word. You need it. You need it so much. And then the last, very quickly, the last word of direction is vital, last, but by no means the least, repent. Deadness and decay and backsliding is our own fault. It's our own fault. It has been brought about by our sin. Sin has got in. It's negligence, even if it's only the sin of negligence and carelessness. Maybe somewhere we've done wrong. Maybe we just have omitted things that we should have done. Or we've done things that in the things of the Lord coldly and carelessly and just not right. And we've grieved the Lord and deadened our own souls and but whatever the reasons, and even if we can't find the reasons, if we're still in a cold state and not the way we were whenever we were first converted and revived and excited, and we still have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, we're sorry. We just have to be honest with the Lord. And we just have to say, Lord, it's just not right with me as it was in former times. And we just have to come before the Lord honestly about the matter. This is what he wants. Just an acknowledgement of the symptoms. And just a sorry that that's the way it is. And just telling the Lord that we're sorry and asking the Lord just to forgive us and just to come again, Lord, and revive us. So we just maybe have to come afresh to the Lord as we recollect the past and recollect how we received him at the start in the gospel and the enthusiasm and the excitement with which we did receive him. And we need just to come afresh to him again and rededicate ourselves to him and ask for a time of refreshing from his presence, which he's glad to send upon those who are repentant. And so we just have to come and tell him about our poor state. Just have to come before the Lord and just bring it to him and just say sorry and seek him. And what will he do? What did the psalmist say? He restoreth my soul. He revives me. He raises me up again. He quickens me again. So these are good directions. This is how to get quickened. Get that out of that state of coldness. He restoreth my soul. And so, brethren and sisters, if we sincerely follow these directions, honestly, just between our own hearts and the Lord, he will refresh us. That's what he desires for Sardis. And that's the directions that he gives them.